Today we're going to talk about everybody's favorite subject, dealing with chronic pain. Some of you maybe have never experienced chronic pain yet. Believe me, as you get older, you will. So you're going to get used to it sooner or later if you live long enough. Chronic pain can be the result of an injury or an illness. Either one can bring it. And unlike acute pain, it persists at least a month longer after the body's all healed. In other words, you can have a complete healing and you still have the pain, and you wonder, how can that be? Well, for those who suffer from chronic medical condition, chronic pain can go on for months or years or a lifetime. Chronic pain is usually not constant pain, but it's persistent enough that almost every single day you have some of the results of it. It can impact the way you sleep. It can impact your work or your ability to work. Even your ability of common task of driving a car can be affected by chronic pain. Your life can drastically outchange, and your mood most surely will. That's one of the hard parts of chronic pain, is dealing with the emotional strain that chronic pain brings into our life, because it doesn't leave you unaffected. And because you're affected day after day after day, it affects your family, it affects those that you love. Some types of chronic pain can be neck pain, back pain, arm and leg pain, pelvic, abdominal pain, spinal compression pain, phantom pain, and this is one that always fascinates me, because I could name you about 7 people right now that I know that have chronic pain that the doctors can't find anything wrong with. Is it mental? Is it actual physical? Who knows? You can't say that it's all in their mind, because it really has an effect on their whole being, but it's just an interesting thing. Amputee pain. Even after a person's had their arm or leg cut off, they can still feel the same pain that was there before it was cut off. Shingles, fibromyalgia, myofascial pain, reflex sympathy, dystrophy, and cancer pain all can be a pain that lasts not just for a week or a month or a year, but can last literally the rest of the days of your life. The most common sources of chronic pain are musculoskeletal pain, and arthritis and back pain, and all those, as we age, seem to multiply. The pain, at first, when you're younger, you hurt your back, it'll bother you for a week, and then it's gone, and you're all set to go again. As you get older, you hurt your back, and it just doesn't go away anymore, and it's a tough one. Chronic pain, some people have had it for years, and the dictionary has a very interesting definition that really fits in with our sermon very well today. It says chronic is an adjective marked by long duration or frequent recurrence, a disease, also affected by a chronic condition. And then in parentheses, it's got a grumbler. If you've had chronic pain, you know some mornings you just wake up and you are in a bad mood. And out of your mouth comes what? Man, I don't know why I still feel this way. I should be. When I was younger, I used to jump out of bed. I can remember it. I was just so excited about a brand new day. And now I kind of moan and I roll out of bed. Things change. You know, chronic pain has been around for a long, long, long time. When you read the book of Job was probably the first book written in all the Bible. It was before Genesis. Job was an old saint. Job was a man that loved the Lord, lived for the Lord, and yet the Lord allowed him to experience pain, chronic pain in his life. It started out with normal pain. If you look at the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 20, when we hit that point in the scriptures of Job 1:20, oops, I didn't read the introduction, did I? That's all right. We'll go with this. Job had just been talked about by the Lord and Satan. Satan goes up, back and forth, the Bible tells us, to heaven, accusing the brethren. And I don't know about you, but with what happened to Job, I would just as soon the Lord didn't talk to me with Satan about me. leave me out of the picture, but I know it doesn't happen. He does talk to Satan about me too and about you. But the Lord had pointed out Job as a righteous man that fears God and that walks uprightly. And Satan says, well, why not? You've blessed him in every area of his life. You bless his children. You bless his flocks. You bless everything. Let me touch him. And he'll curse you to your face. The Lord said, okay, go ahead and touch him, but you can't take his life. Well, Satan went out and destroyed all of Job's animals, all of his crops. He had 10 of his children die all at once in a house. And when that wound up, this is not chronic pain. This is an all-at-once pain. Most of us, when we have acute pain, when something goes wrong and we're sick for a week or a few days, we deal with that pretty well. We almost expect that. But dealing with chronic pain, long-lasting pain, is different. Satan said he'll curse you to your face. Well, here's the answer. At this, Job got up, 10 children dead in one day. I mean, this would wipe me out. But Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship. Isn't that something? And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. My friends, I hope you know this much. I hope you know in your life, the Lord gives you things. And we all rejoice when that happens. When we have a new birth in the family, we're rejoicing. But the Lord also takes away. None of us want to see our children. I told my kids when they were young, you can't die until I die. That's not right. You've got to let me go first. I know it happens, but praise the Lord, it hasn't happened for me yet. I can't imagine the experience of losing 10 of those you love more than almost anybody all at once and then wind up worshiping the Lord. It's an amazing thing. But remember Satan's word to the Lord after that happened? In Job chapter 2, verse 1, I want to show you the difference between acute pain and chronic pain, because there is a difference. It says, on another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming back and throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He's a blameless and upright man, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. Skin for skin, Satan replied. A man will give all he has for his own life. But now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he'll surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well, then he's in your hands, but you must spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it and sat among the ashes. Friends, I don't know if you've ever had a boil on your body. I've got one right now, right above my glasses, right there. Just a little one. It's only been 3 days. But I can't imagine having my whole body full of those. When I laid on my pillow last night, I had a hard time laying on this side because it hurts. If you had that and it was a one-day thing, well, no big deal. A week thing, yeah, it's going to get better. But imagine it goes on, and you're not just one spot here. You got it from the sole of your foot all the way up your body. You can't lay down. You can't sit down. You can't stand. Pain no matter what you do. Job's wife gave poor Job some good, I'll say some advice, not good advice, but some advice. She said in Job 2:9, his wife said to him, are you still maintaining your integrity? And I'm going to be talking about integrity in just a minute. Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. He replied, "You're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin by what he said. Folks, integrity is such an important term. And I know we don't think about it when we're ill, but integrity is the thing that will keep you going, keep you faithful to your Lord. Are you going to suffer any less? No, you're not. But you're going to be able to do the right thing. You're going to be able to say the right things. You're going to be able to do the right things, no matter how much pain or how long it lasts. Integrity. It's not in the notes, but Proverbs 11:3 says, "The integrity of the upright guides them. But the unfaithful, those that know what they should do but refuse to do it, the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity." And I know duplicity is one of those words we don't use much anymore. But duplicity simply means this: I know what God says is right, but I'm not going to do it. I know I shouldn't grumble and complain and gripe about my situation, but I think people need to know how much I'm hurting. So I'm just going to grumble and complain and say, "Lord, why don't you heal me? What's wrong?" I want to give you a different avenue in life. You don't have to go that way. You can live in your integrity. You can learn how to praise God no matter how long your pain lasts. We have pain in this life. Some of those pains are for a while, and some of those pains may be a lifetime. How do you maintain your integrity and keep serving and keep praising God for the illness that he's allowed? I'm not going to say he gave it to you, but he allowed it, or it could not have happened. No matter what your situation is today, it had to go through your Father's hands before it got to you. And so you can get all upset, you can get angry if you want, you can, as Job's wife said, curse God and die. And you say, "Well, how could a woman say that?" You've got to remember, her 10 kids just died too. She lost everything she has too. All of us handle pain differently. One time, you may go through handling your chronic pain very well, and the next time, you may totally fall apart. Maybe Job's wife handled it better than he did other times, but this time, it got to her. And she didn't want to see Job suffer anymore. I got to tell you, as a hospice chaplain, there are times I'm praying for my clients to die. It's not because I don't like them. It's not because I don't want to be with them and minister to them. It's because they're in such pain. And they're believers in Christ, and it would be so much better to be out of this situation. Chronic pain is a difficult, difficult thing to do. Chronic pain took a man, Job, from praising God, saying, "The Lord gave, the Lord took away, praise be the name of the Lord," to a man that cursed the day of his birth. The good news for us is Job never did curse God. He never complained. He never said God was unfair. But chronic pain, when it begins to last and last, now Job's got these boils, he's got other things going on, and it's not going away. And in Job chapter 3, verse 1, after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. He did not curse God, but he did curse the day of his birth. He said, "May the day of my birth perish, and the night that said a boy is conceived. That day may it turn to darkness. May God not care about it. May no light shine on it. May gloom and utter darkness claim it once more. May a cloud settle over it. May blackness overwhelm it. That night may thick darkness seize it. May it not be included among the days of the year, nor be entered in any of the months. May that night be barren. May no shout of joy be heard in it. May those who curse days curse that day. Those who are ready to rouse, Lethean." So what Job is saying here very clearly is that chronic pain can make a difference in the way you respond. Job did not curse God, but Job did curse the day of his birth. What Job is saying, and maybe you've said it yourself, "I wish I had never been born," because chronic pain can do that to you. so important that we determine when we get into those situations, we are going to praise God, and we're going to try to learn how to not curse the day of our birth, because it can be very difficult to do. First lesson we have to learn is not all chronic pain comes from your individual sin. Now, all pain on this earth comes from sin, but not all of it comes because of your sin. That's an important lesson to learn, because I let a man, well, he wasn't a young man, he was probably in his early 40s or 50s. I led him to faith in Christ, and he led his wife to faith in Christ, and they went to a church that taught that you should never be sick. The only reasons to be sick at all is a lack of faith or sin in your life. Well, this young man's wife got cancer. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they confessed every sin they could possibly imagine might possibly be a problem. But she didn't get healed. They thought their faith out and they said, no, we do believe. We believe that Jesus Christ is God. It's not a lack of faith. We do believe God could heal. So what was it? Because that's so confusing for so many people. Many people really believe the only reason you should ever be sick is because of sin in your life. That's a common thought that goes all the way back to the time of Jesus Christ. In John 9, verse 1, it says, as he went along, talking about Jesus, he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus said, but this happened that the works of God might be displayed in him. In other words, it wasn't because of this man's parents' sin, and it wasn't because of that man's own sin that he was born blind. He was born blind so that God could reveal his power through him by healing him. God has a reason for everything that he allows in our lives. And he tells us in his word how we're to respond. And I'm not going to tell you this is easy. There are times when I can do this, and there are times in my life when I have not. It's not that I wasn't able through Christ. It's that I didn't take the power that was offered. I didn't use Christ. In James chapter 1, verse 2, he tells us how to respond when chronic pain hits you. And this is, it's impossible without a strong relationship with the Lord at that moment. I can tell you that. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I don't know about you, but when I hit chronic pain in my life, I don't want perseverance. I want healing. But what God says is perseverance is the most important thing, because you cannot mature in your faith without persevering, without going through those things. You know, the Bible says that Jesus learned obedience by what? By the things that he suffered. We don't like suffering. I got to tell you, I don't like suffering. Our pain may teach us to trust God more. That's what he's saying. In Psalm 119, verse 67, the psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. In other words, sometimes the word of God will take you from a life of disobedience, show you where you were wrong, and you can make a correction. Praise the Lord for that. He says, it was good for me to be afflicted, that I might learn your decrees. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. I know, O Lord, that your laws are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. May your unfailing love be my comfort, according to your promise to your servant. Folks, it's so important that you understand that when God allows pain in your life, it's to move you towards more and more Christ-likeness. It's not easy. It can't be done without pain. Chronic pain may lead you to a greater sanctification of life. And I know that's hard to believe, that through pain you can actually become more like your Lord, but that's exactly what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 teaches. You have completely forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son. It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, then everyone undergoes discipline. Then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we've all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, produces the harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Folks, it's so important to be trained by the suffering the Lord allows into our lives. Satan wants to destroy your faith. The Lord God in heaven wants to empower your faith. He wants you to learn to trust him in whatever he allows in your lives. We're told in verses 5 and 6 to neither make light of God's discipline, nor to lose heart because of it. We're to keep trusting our Lord. I know it may last for a month. It may last for a year. It could last the rest of the days of your life. But if the Lord allows it to last, he has a purpose in it. Now, I want to tell you this, and I know this might upset somebody, I hope not. But there's nothing wrong with taking medication for pain as long as it doesn't get you addicted. The sad thing is, I can tell you, like I said before, I can name 7 people that have certain traits, but I can tell you 7 or other 8 people that I know that are today hooked on pain pills because they took them too long. Medication in the Bible is perfectly okay. I'm going to read you a verse, and I want you not to take it the wrong way, but the right way. In 1 Timothy 5:23, Paul tells young Timothy, "Stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses." I don't want you to go out and start drinking wine and whiskey to handle the pain. That's not the idea. Wine was a medication at that time. We have a lot better medications today than wine for your stomach. Don't get hooked on something, but by all means, don't suffer needlessly. Pain doesn't get you extra reward in heaven. Sometimes you're going to have to go through pain, but if you can avoid it, by all means, the Lord raised up doctors for a purpose and nurses. They really can help. So what we want to look at is yet another man that had chronic pain and the reason. Because often the main question we want to ask is the same thing that little children always ask. What's their favorite question? Why? Why? And when we get chronic pain, we want to know why. In 2 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul got a chronic condition. He says, "Because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong.'" The Apostle Paul had to come to that. If the Lord had not allowed this chronic condition in the Apostle Paul's life, his visions and his revelations and the fact that he wrote 13 of the New Testament books would have went to his head, he would have swelled up with pride, and it would have destroyed him. And so the Lord allowed Satan to give him a chronic condition. We don't know if it was his eyes for sure or something else wrong that he never did get healed from. 3 times he pleaded with the Lord. You can say, well, I prayed and the Lord didn't answer. That means the Lord's not there. No, that's not what it means. That means for reasons known maybe only to the Lord, because sometimes he doesn't tell us, like he told Paul, he wants you to have that condition so that it'll check something that would destroy your life. Sometimes we're not told. Paul said the hardships that he suffered were beyond his ability. I got to tell you, I've seen people suffering that I know is way beyond my ability to handle, but it's not beyond God's ability. In 2 Corinthians 1:8, Paul says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we've set our hope that we will continue, that he will continue to deliver us. There are things in this life that are meant in your life to help you refocus. So often we get our focus on this life, the cares of this life, the concerns of this life. We take our eyes off eternity. And the Apostle Paul said that only through faith in Christ did he have enough power to go through these things. What it does oftentimes is refocuses. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, all the troubles Paul went through, he said, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what's seen, but what's unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I hope you understand that your suffering is only going to last for a few more years. And I don't care how old you are, if you've got a chronic condition, within 100 years, your chronic condition is going to be behind you. So refocus yourself on what's coming, because it's absolutely good news for every person that has received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We may suffer for a while, but in Revelation 21:1, the Lord tells us what the end result is going to be. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They'll be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. You won't ever cry again when you get to heaven. It'll be behind you. There will be no more death. Folks, death hurts. It's a terrible thing, but we won't be any more of that. There won't be any more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. How many years won't there be any more tears or crying or pain or death? All the years of eternity. We have a hard time during this 100-year lifespan we have. People are living to be 100 pretty regular now. 80 and 90 is the norm now, but 100 is not out of the question. I've got a hospice client right now, 105 years old. Her mind is sharp as a tack. It's amazing. But soon, her suffering days are going to be over. Her knees hurt. All the cushion in the knee is gone, and so she just hurts terrible. But you would expect that, wouldn't you, at 105? But what's her life? She is a believer. What's her life going to be in another 200 years? another 500, another 1,000, another million, another billion. We have to take the long look. The things we suffer hurt. But the Apostle Paul said there is a way in this life that you and I can learn to give thanks in any and every situation. And I'm going to tell you, chronic pain is probably the hardest place to do that. I can rejoice in the Lord when one thing goes wrong. I have a little harder time when five things go wrong. But when things last and last and last and the trouble just keeps coming, that tends to be the time when I fall apart. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:10 said this, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I hope you've learned the secret. I'm still learning. I gotta tell you, I have not arrived yet. I do really good on short term, but when it's long and it's lasting, I struggle similar to everybody else, I guess. Our Lord wants us to know that he could at any time release you from any chronic pain, any long-standing problem. In an instant, he could take it away if he chose to. Because it's important to know that chronic pain, the Lord could remove it. In Luke chapter 13, verse 10, we see such an occurrence. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. And a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. That's chronic. That's a long time. She had been bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, Woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. The Lord answered him, You hypocrites, don't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? When he had said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with his wonderful things that he was doing. Folks, I want to tell you, at any time, God could touch you and totally change your situation. If he doesn't, he has a good reason for not doing it. He's our Heavenly Father. No father is going to want their child to suffer unless it's absolutely necessary for the good of that child and for the glory of God. Folks, we have to get used to this. On the bad days, which I have, you talk about chronic condition. I was in an accident back 25 years ago now. A lady on Gratiot, I was coming down. I had the green light. And her arrow was not on to turn. Yeah, she turned in front of me. My car went ahead, and I flew out of my seat and hit my head on the overhead on the window, and no problem. I was young then, younger, and I didn't have any problem at all for about 10 years. And all at once, my neck started getting stiff, and it got stiffer and stiffer and stiffer. So I went to a chiropractor, and he loosened it up a little bit, got me back where I could work again, but I had to go back the next week because it was bothering again, and the next and the next. And he told me, he said, from the x-rays I've taken, you are going to have neck problems the rest of your life. So I went to a doctor to say, well, maybe I'll get a different result here. No, the doctor said, you're going to have neck problems the rest of your life. I can turn my head that far, no further, this way, not quite as far. That's what it's going to be, unless the Lord touches me. But whether he does or he doesn't, I can still serve the Lord. I can still rejoice. I can still love my family. I can still reach out and help people. We need to get on those bad days when we start to grumble and gripe because my back hurts. My back's been hurting for over a month now. Those things just happen. It's chronic. You can get your eyes on the pain, and you can start to grumble and mumble inside yourself, and that's eventually going to spill over, and it's going to affect everybody around you. Or you can put your eyes on the Lord and go to Him for the grace you need to keep your integrity. To say, praise be the name of the Lord. Yes, I've got a stiff neck. Yes, I'm taking it to the grave. But guess what? After that, I'm never going to have neck pain again. My back's never going to bother me again. I'm going to be in perfect health with a perfect body, a clear mind for all eternity. Those of you getting a little older, I don't know if you have the same chronic problem I have now, but my forgetter forgets itself. I don't know where to find it half the time. That's a terrible thing, but I can praise God. If you look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. That's your integrity. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us therefore approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. If you've been to the throne of grace and you've asked the Lord for the healing, but it doesn't come, you've got two choices. Either God isn't good and doesn't care about me, or God is good and He cares so much about me, He's allowing me, who He loves, to walk in pain for my own good and for His glory. Those are the choices we have. Chronic pain can not only destroy your own life, it can destroy every life around you. As you begin to grump and complain and shout out and accuse, it's going to destroy every relationship you have. So in your pain, take it to the Lord. Realize that He loves you with all of His heart, and He's experienced pain too. But He loves you sometimes too much to take away that pain. Sometimes we need that to stay in the right relationship with our Lord and our family. Father, we're grateful for Your word.